Hello, my name is Tiffany B. from Philadelphia. I got a cheat sheet because I'll go all over the place. I'm originally from New York City. I always have to, always have to plug in New York first, right? Okay, so this is my first time speaking at a convention, right? And let me just tell you a little bit briefly, like, how I got the call, right? When I said I wanted to go stay on the course, right? Right? And if you saw this, it looks terrible, but I can understand it, right? It says, who I am, I told you that part, right? Right. Where I'm from, we got that. Okay. And how I got here, right? Okay, now first one, I work for the public. I work for the parking authority. So, yeah, right? So get this, right? I know, right? So, so I'm on the beat, and it's pouring down, raining. Some lady just cussed me out because her car got booted or whatever, and she's giving me all types of shit, right? So I get this call, and I see this weird number, and the lady says that your name was submitted to speak, and I was like, really? And like water's pouring all down on me, and this lady's cursing me out from the side and all that. So I like crouch down like into a doorway because we don't really get shelter. We're outside, you know. So I'm in the doorway and I'm covering with the ticket book like over my phone. I'm talking to her and she's, you know, she's telling me like tears are like coming down my eyes. Like she can't even hear me. Like I couldn't believe it because when she told me something, I was going to be speaking with a veteran, right? And yeah. And I was like, when she said it, right, when she said it, you would have thought, like, I want, like, $1 million. Like, I like, grasped my chest. I was like, oh, my gosh, like, me? I just, it was, like, so exciting. Like, oh, my gosh, I don't think I have shit to offer, but I'm pretty sure somebody's going to get something out of this, right? Okay. All right. So, okay, and I got this other line, right, where it says, the next line is, right, so I told you where I was from, New York. I did that part, right? Okay. Sponsor, I got sponsor, no bullshitting, looking for, and what did I find? All right, so sponsorship, right? Wait, first, like, how I got here. Okay, so my drug of choice was powder, right? Tina, that's what I called it. And I never thought I was addict, even though I grew up in the rooms, right? My mother has about a couple of decades here, so I was like one of those kids that sat in the back and played with the other addict kids, right? So I thought I was like exempt. I called them, they're addict kids. That's what they are, they're addict kids. I'm an addict kid, right? So you know, and you know the little one that like can't even reach their arms up and like they go in a circle, right? They just kind of fit their way in there and whatnot. And I was like one of those kids, right? So I thought I was exempt from, you know, actually becoming a full pledge member, right? So I'm like, okay, all right, work with, all right, okay. So I'm like, so then what happened was I was a pothead, and I'm like, that's all I'll ever do. Like, I wanted to be like one of those old ladies that like pulled open her sugar bowl and get a little bit of weed. Like, I had friends that got high with their family members, and I thought that was the coolest fucking thing ever. And I said, I want to be one of those people. Yeah, I don't even like kids. I mean, no offense. They're just, you know, take a dollar, go somewhere, but, you know, I do what I can. But the thing was this, right? Like, one day in my mind, in my fantasy, I was going to get high with my grandkids and share weed, and that's how I was going to go. I was never going to touch the hard stuff, this, that was that, right? So, boom, right? Moving right along. She says, I lost my job, right? And when I have idle time, I realize I become this monster, right? And these issues come up. KFC, wood, resentments. Okay, so I found out that my once in a blue moon party drug, which is powder, like every now and then I would go to these events and you know, the plate would come out, and I went to this fabulous party, and I always felt like that's where I belong, right? In my mind, I'm just this trapped poor girl, but I'm really Dynasty. I'm Diane Carroll in my mind. I know I am. I just got mixed up. My mother fucked up, and this is what the rep. This is what we got. This is what we got. This is where I'm at. I'm New York girl from Alphabet City, and that's what I got. I didn't get Rittenhouse Square or Midtown Manhattan. I got the projects and a little bit of some apartment, brownstone, condominium, some shit, right? So, boom, right? So, who was it? See, I got to stay focused. Did I do that part? Right? So, yeah, right? So, wait. I went to this fabulous party, and they were talking about things like, where do you summer, and what education do you have, and all that. And I was like, where do you summer? This is where I belong. And it just came around like nothing, like a waiter. Like, I couldn't believe it. I was like, wow, these people are not sucking dick in the alley. They're clean. They have jobs. They make money. And they still get high. This is for me. This is for me. This is where I belong, right here. Diane Carroll probably did this on the side. Who fucking knows, right? So, well, I'm pretty sure in some kind of way, right? All right, so get this, right? So get this. So I'm going to just speed up, right? It got very dark. There was no more Diane Carroll. There was no Diana Ross. It got really creepy. You know, like I always said to myself, like, as long as I can maintain a job and I don't, like, work under the L, like the L is like this really creepy place in Philly where there's like a bunch of prostitutes and dealers and all that stuff like that. And I would say to myself, like, well, as long as I don't end up over there and I still have a job, then I'm good, right? So it went from the weekends and it followed me to work, right? So I used to work for like this airline. And like customer service. And one day I was like going back and forth and doing lines, right, and going back to the customer service. And do you remember when those Chinese wigs were like really popular where the bang came like that and came down, like everybody and their mother had them, right? So I decided to get one. But I didn't realize I have issues with things tight on my head. I don't like it. It's very uncomfortable and it's very itchy, right? So, you know, the more you're doing the stuff, you start sweating and shit, right? And the jaw, you know, the jaw starts moving. And my face contorts naturally. You would think I'm still getting high because my face moves around so much. But so add Tina to it, you're like, that bitch is still getting high, right? But I had the wig on, and I would go do a line. I would come back, and the part was over here, right? By the end of the day, I was sweating so bad, I was just lifted up and like, welcome. Welcome. Welcome to United, blah, blah, blah. May I help you, please? I was just blowing it all over the place. I didn't even care. I didn't even care anymore, right? Like, finally stop hiding it. It just got bad. It just got real bad. I didn't even care that, you know, I just lifted right on up, right? So, yeah, so I started to think that maybe there's an issue, right? Just maybe. Because, you know, you're not supposed to pull your wig off in public. You know better than that. And if you're doing it in front of these customers, you have a problem. That's an issue for me, right? So then, boom, right, the last run. I'm going to tell you how that. I'm going to tell you about that, and then I'm going to get to the other part, right? The last run, it was like a snow of emergency where you weren't even allowed to be out on the street, right? And I was real sneaky. Like, we had went to a party in Atlantic City or something, and then we came back, and everybody went to sleep. You know how everybody goes to sleep, but then you get back up, and you go back outside, right? So I did that, had to, like, ditch the car out of the snow and all that. My dumb ass, right? I go to the guy. I say, yo, give me a couple, right? And he says, he's in a wheelchair. I'm like, where's he going? It's snow out here. He's not going anywhere. And I had a delivery guy, but I got so cheap towards the end. The delivery guy said, I'm not coming down your area for just one and two. So they said, just go up the street. You'll find something. So I went up there, and this guy in the wheelchair said, he looks harmless. I slide my money out the window. He says, hold on. He pulls the chair over to the side. The motherfucker spins me, right? He's gone, right? I look outside the window. The chair is there, and he don't have the goddamn goat. Here we go.
gone. Nothing. What I'm gonna do with the chair? No chair. That's it. Dope is gone, right? Chair's gone. It's gone. Now I said it's gone. It's gone. That's what I'm gonna do with the dope, right? So I said, you know, I was getting high off some other bullshit. I was kind of still high, and I said, that's it. Nobody treats Diana Carroll that way. Nobody does. No, do you know who I am? I'm the type of person that will put on a prom dress and go get high. You know, because I don't want you to associate me. I'm still in Rittenhouse Square with the plate and all that. So one time I remember putting on my prom dress, right? My prom dress, I couldn't even zip the shit back up, right? Motherfucking back fat sticking all out the bitch, right? And he was like, where are you coming from? I was like, oh, from an event downtown or something. You know, mind you, it's from my fucking basement with my cat, right? You know, that's the event. But I gotta make sure you know that I don't want you treating my shit like. And he was like, he would be like, okay, yeah, well, here it is. And threw it on the ground. I said, how dare you? Nobody treats me that way. Nobody. You know who the fuck I am? Nobody, right? Nobody. You know who I am? Nobody. I still die for that shit like nobody's business, right? I said, that's it, I'm done. So I walked in the room, right? I actually went shopping to go to the first meeting. That's how bad, like, the tag was stuck inside the thing. No way, I cannot still be affiliated with those other people. In my mind, who am I? I'm Diana, you know? So, you know, I met a really cool sponsor, and I didn't realize, I thought once I got rid of the drugs that, you know, things would be cool and everything would be all right, but we find out we have other issues, right? So I chose my sponsor. I knew nothing about her. I liked the way she dressed, and she was Jewish, right? And I feel like I have this connection with Jewish people, right? I don't know what it is. I swear it's like the spirit, right? I did some time in Rikers. Can you believe? Yeah, Diana goes to jail too. Yeah, I did. I went to Rikers, right? I went to Rikers. And I remember that whole Rikers thing. This, my addiction started. I guess I'm telling you all this because my addiction started from an early, early age. If it wasn't sex, if it wasn't food, it was drugs, it was going to be something, right? So I'm in Rikers, and once again, like, I remember just me thinking, still in that fantasy, when the lady tells me, like, cough and bend over, and I'm like, well, why do I have to do it in front of all of you? Like, what is the nature? She says, Miss, are you going to be a problem? I'm saying, no, you don't have to call anybody for me. But I don't think I should have to cough and squat in front of the rest of these girls. And just thinking of not realizing, like, how me selling drugs and not, you know what I'm saying, not realizing this problem was bigger, much bigger than me, you know, on why. I think I need water, too. Yeah, right? So on why, thank you. Yes. I gotta straighten it out. Right? So, oh, wait a minute. So, I didn't jump, so I'm losing. I lost the list, right? Let me go back, right? Okay, I said sponsor. I found a sponsor. I picked her because she was Jewish, because I felt like I had a connection with her, not knowing that she was going to be this amazing fucking person. I lucked up yet again. But, oh, I know why I told you the jail thing. The person who gave me a second chance, right, she said that she was a public defender. I didn't have any money for her. And she said that I believe you're just someone who just lost their way. And I see a lot of people come in here, but there's just something about you that I think you deserve a second chance, right? Mind you, 20 days later, I got locked up again. So, you know, like, so much for second chances. And then the second lawyer that I got, he said, which wasn't Jewish, he said, he was not Jewish. He was not the loving the lawyer that I had the first time. He says, look, let's cop to, like, a year. And he barely even looked at me, and let's do that. The Jewish lawyer, she came through. She came back. She was like, Tiff, I still think you found the wrong path, and I'm going to get you out of here, right? I was like, all right, whatever. You know, she went through all this stuff, and she got me out, and I felt like this spirit to her. And I said, that's it. I'm bluish. You know what I'm saying? Listen, right? I'm from New York.
If you know anything about New York, you know there's a big melting pot there, and Jews is part of it, right? I'm black, she's Jew, it's a perfect connection, she's my sponsor, we're meant to be together, right? And she laughs, you know, she thinks like, she's the type of person, she reminds me of a mommy, like, the type of mom, you know when your kid gives you that fucked up looking picture, you're like, oh, that's so cute, and like tears come down her eye, that's how she makes me feel when I come to her with stuff, like, and I'll give her gifts, and they'll be like kind of crunched up and shit, and she'll be like, oh, that's so beautiful, and you can feel it, like it's not bullshit, right? So we're getting, I'm learning to trust her, and that was hard. That's hard, despite all the love and the connection, right? And even though I'm not using drugs, I realized those other triggers start to come back, and one of them I found, which was sex, you know? And it wasn't that I was, like, hoeing in the rooms. It's not like I'm unfamiliar with being that type of person. It's just... I'm not. Yeah. So, you know, the thing was this, like, it just comes out in different ways, right? So I hook up with someone that has been around for 20 years and knew a lot about the program, right? But yet he was getting a 60-day click tag. So it just didn't dawn on me. I was just so impressed by all the people he knew and all that stuff and these fancy words, like, we are one, and all this, and the prayer backwards and forwards. I was looking at the book, I was like, wow, that's, yeah, we belong together, that's what's up, right? That's right up my alley, right? Trauma, all that, rolled into one, and you're packing too, that's what's up. So, right, so, and it nearly took me out of here. It nearly took me out of here because the shame and the guilt of having to look at my sponsee, who I'm trying to say, or these newcomers, keep coming back, the program works, this is how you should live, blah, 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 blah. Yeah, I'm hooking up with somebody who can't even keep 2 days clean. And that was hard. That was hard. I found myself saying that prayer before I came in here. God, please help me. Please remove that feeling away from me. How do I get this out of here, right? So... And then, like, I did something stupid. Like, I felt like I didn't have anything to offer those sponsees. So on a whim, what I did was I dumped my sponsees and told them, like, look, I was so caught up in trying to save this motherfucker who did not want to be here. Regardless, that's still none of my business. I made his problem my problem, you know what I'm saying? And I saw it before I got in here. I'm not even going to say, like, I'm this victim. I knew damn well what I was doing. And that's not even the half. Like, the ugly part was that I found myself thinking, well, fuck it. If I relapse, I relapse. I love him so much. Nobody's ever going to love a fucked up person like me any goddamn way, right? You know, if you really knew who I was and what kind of person I can be when the lights is out, you wouldn't want to call me a sponsee sister or sponsor me any goddamn way, right? So I dumped the sponsees and I called the sponsor and I tell her, look, I'm dumping you too, right? You know what I'm saying? So, you know, I felt like one of those kids, you know, with the stick in the bag, you know, like, boom, like, where I'm going to go, right? So she said, okay, that's cool. She was like, that's all right. She was like, why don't you come meet me at this restaurant, right? So we can, you know, she said, so we can have a proper send-off. I'm like, all right, good, but you're not changing my mind, right? So we get down, and so she was like, where you going to go? Like, you know, what are you going to do? What's the plan? I was like, I ain't think about that yet. You know, I just know I'm leaving because it hurts too much to have to come in here and share my pain when knowing that that's going to free me because the moment I put it out there, that means I got to stop. That's what I've learned so far. You can't pretend like it don't exist anymore, and I wasn't ready to do that. You know, I'm comfortable in my pain and crying myself to sleep, and that's the way I've been dealing with my problems, and I'm not ready to step up, regardless I had a couple of years in here, right? I told you guys I only had 5, right? I barely made this speaking commitment by, like, a month when she asked me, so I just wanted to put that out there, right? Okay. So, and another thing was, I didn't even say I was so caught up and so nervous, and I'm so honored to have spoken with Miss Barbara here, you know what I'm saying? You guys are here, like... The love, like, right? So she told me, like, Tiff, you know, like, I still love you regardless, no matter what. When I say no matter what, I mean no matter fucking what. So I said, what if I told you that the person that I was sleeping with had the virus and we were careless and I possibly got HIV? Then what you would do? Would you still feel comfortable sponsoring the black girl who may have HIV? And she gave me a hug and she told me that she loved me. And she says, look, what do you know for a fact? I said, no, and I don't want to know at this point. I fucked up so much. I dumped my sponsees. I'm dumping you. I possibly got the virus and I'm ready to go cop. And that's how I feel. I want to, this is my normal pattern with stuff, right? So she says, well, if you have the virus, we'll deal with it. And we still need you here, you know? And I'm not going anywhere. So we went and got tested. And everything came out okay so far. It's been a couple of years, you know? But, you know, I'm not going to lie. At one point, at times we were doing stuff, I did say, fuck it. And I was so scared and so ashamed to say that I really didn't care. I felt like that was the ultimate love. Like, how twisted and fucked up is that, you know? You know what I'm saying? That's the ultimate love. I didn't want to be this person that these sponsees said, oh, Tiff, you're so funny, and I love you, and all that. But yet, I would put myself in danger and people and places and things and go get him out of dope houses after I done dropped off the sponsee and all this old sneaky, dirty shit while you're still clean, right? So, I put it out on the floor a little bit. You know, but in areas that was kind of far away, because I don't get too much praise. It was far away. They didn't look like y'all. And sound, some me farting, they, some meetings, they were Spanish. They didn't know what the fuck I was saying. But so, my sponsor said, did you share? I said, yeah, they don't know what the fuck I'm saying, but I shared. You know what I'm saying? Fuck, right? So... Yeah, I put it out there. They heard it some kind of way. They saw the pain. That's all they knew. You know, comprende, right? You understand? Yeah. So I got how I got back in. I got that part all mapped out here, too. How I got back in, right? Service. I got in service, right? Big time, you know what I'm saying? Helping another newcomer, making extra meetings, you know what I'm saying? Doing what I can and all the other stuff, you know, sponsorship and praying, which I have an issue with the whole higher power thing. Like sometimes I feel jealous that I can't be like the type of person that comes up in here and does like this whole bit on how grateful they are to be here. Like I know a higher power put me in here. I know that for a doubt, especially when I go to funerals of people who relapse in the basement and obituary tells their story, you know? Or that person that just cannot fucking stay clean no matter what, and we see them for years. You know what I'm saying? That's how I know that there's somebody or something up there looking out for me, right? So that's as far as I've gotten, and I still say something to somebody up there, and I know someone is listening, right? And then last, but one of my biggest things is looking for recovery, and one of the things that I recover from is food. Child, I'm telling you, it is like a love relationship like no fucking other. Like, I'm telling you, one time, let me tell you something. One time, I used to have like these priorities. It would go like mom, you know, God, my mother, and all that. Food would even top mommy sometimes. You know what I'm saying? I swear to God, I would get so excited when I was eating something, like my heart would race, like how I knew the dope man was coming. Just to think about the chicken grease rolling down my motherfucking hand. Oh, my God. Oh, my goodness. Like, I would get so excited. And I realized when I was sitting there, and my cat, right? My cat, she's overweight like me. And we eat together. She's the type of cat, when people walk in the door, they're like, what the fuck is that? You know what I'm saying? What the fuck is that? Like, she lays there in all her glory, and then she's real nasty about it. She lays on her back, and her arms is open. And I dress her, and I put her on Facebook, and I show her that off to everybody. Look at my fat-ass cat. You know what I'm saying?
You know, and we eat together, you know. She's my daughter. I don't have any kids. That's probably the closest thing I'm going to come to a kid. And she's my daughter, and we have a problem together. And I realized, like, wow, this is like the dope. Like, this is how I feel, like, with the dope, right? My fucking God, the chicken and the Coke is the same goddamn thing to me. And I had to put that on my resentment list. KFC! You know what I'm saying? It was like this pain, this hurt. I remember even times like eating stuff and tears would be coming down my fucking face. Like it would hurt so fucking bad because I was so embarrassed and ashamed.
Mm, it's okay, baby. Share.
See, my fantasy didn't even go like this. I wasn't supposed to cry. I was supposed to be cool the whole fucking time. So what I did was, you know, I realized that, you know, that my addiction and finding that peace and that recovery, right, that my sponsor, she's a trainer. Her body's, like, fucking phenomenal, right? What was it? We went to Vegas the other day, and something happened where she had to, like, she fell back, and she had to fall, like, on me, and, like, her hand, like, went deep in my stomach, and I was like, oh, gosh. And hers is, like, hard as a fucking board. Oh, goodness. I swear I almost fell back just to let her fall because I didn't want her to touch me. I don't want you touching that. She was like, damn, you could have helped me. I was like, oh, I didn't see you. I didn't see your ass fall. Right? So, you know, so I realized that the food and the sex are deep triggers for me, and I will try to fulfill them, and that's how I'll try to recover. And I realized that it was anytime I do the steps, I eat better, I choose better people in my life. You know what I'm saying? I'm better to myself, and I realize that I'll use it like I use people sometimes. Like, I'll get what I can from you, right? Not this lady, not like her. I was just saying, just use an example. I'll get what I can from you. Then once I start feeling good, and once you get me to where I need to go, I'm gone. You know? And that's what I do with the steps. It was the same pattern. I'll do a little bit on the fourth step. I ate this. I fucked this person. Blah, blah, blah. Okay, I stopped doing. I'm good for a couple of months. And then bam. Something happens. Somebody walks in the room and so on and so. But guess what? There's hope at the end of the tunnel, right? Because, I mean, I don't know what I'm going to look like next year, but I joined Weight Watchers. Who knows? Don't, please. Because if I come back bigger next week, you guys can see it didn't fucking work, right? So, please. And if I do, please just love me. Please just love me if I do come back next year like that. Just love me, you know? And then, and I do have a boyfriend. I actually, decent boyfriend. We've been together for over a year. And, you know, in the rooms, that's major. You know what I'm saying? That's major, right? So I got that. That's good. And let me see, okay, so I got that, all right, okay, so boom, right, so I realized with the relationships, right, and the food, what the triggers were, and how to get better, which was, I told you, right, I did that part, the service, sponsorship, steps, and however you can factor in the higher power is up to you, and my sponsor made that, like, extremely clear. So I don't know if you guys got anything out of this, because I'll be over. I did the cat. I always plug in my cat, and I always plug in New York City, right? You know what I'm saying? So I hope what I said was somewhat helpful. And my name is Tiffany, reside in Philly, but originally from New York. Thanks for letting me share.